Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Welcome, friends. This is Bishop Michael Sheridan, and today my guest is Father Robert Barron. Father Barron is a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and professor at Mundelein Seminary, which is the seminary for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Father Barron, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Bishop, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you, and the reason we have you, of course, is because you are the writer, the host, the creator of a wonderful new series, video series, that has just begun to show on PBS here locally, called Catholicism. And I had a chance to do a little preview of it. It's very well done. But what I'd like to have you do, Father Barron, is tell our audience about the series. Where did you get the idea for it? What's going to be unique and different about this presentation of the Catholic Church, of the Catholic faith, maybe different from others? So I'll leave it to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for that. I guess the genesis of this really is in Cardinal George, my boss here in Chicago, who asked me about, 5 years ago, to work on evangelizing the culture. So I've been doing a lot of work in teaching and lecturing and writing books and so on. But he said, I want you to really jumpstart this evangelization of the culture. So I said to him, well, I think the best way to do that is to use the media, because that's how you reach, you know, the next generation, really anyone under 40.
Right.
So I began doing a lot of work with the internet. I do these commentaries that we put up on YouTube that have gotten a lot of attention. And, you know, I know reaching out through the media, you just reach a lot more people than you would gathering crowds in rooms, you know, to give a talk. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, you know, the very best way to do this would be to construct a documentary that would show the Catholic faith in its truth, but also in its beauty. And my model there was, you might remember, Bishop, back in the 70s, Kenneth Clark.
Oh, I do.
Did a great series called Civilization,
right.
And when I was a kid, that had a big impact on me. Clark, you know, was the director of the National Gallery in London, and he went around mostly Western Europe to show the glories of Western civilization. He talked about it in a very winsome way, but he also showed it. He went to the cathedrals, the museums, he showed the buildings, etc. And for a long time, I thought, wouldn't it be great to use Catholicism as the subject of that kind of treatment? Because we are such a true religion, we're an intellectually robust religion, but we're also a beautiful religion. And we've used the visual, we've used the artistic, the architectural to speak the truth of the faith. So anyway, I was dreaming about this project, and I brought it before my board. I've got a board that supports my work in this ministry, and I laid out that idea. And one member of the board said, you should drop whatever else you're doing and do that. And the rest of the board seemed to agree. So I said, well, the first step would be getting Cardinal George's permission if I could do this. So a group of them went down, without me, to see Cardinal George. And they laid out this idea, and he said, whatever I can do to make this happen, I will do. And so that gave me the freedom to roam all over the world, you know. And then we had to raise about $3 million to make this 10-part series possible. And that's a great part of the story, because we started here in Chicago. We gather groups of Catholics, and I would lay out this vision. And, you know, slowly but surely, the money came in. And the minute we had enough money for one trip, I said, well, let's go. Let's just go and we'll film. So we filmed in the Holy Land beginning in June of 2008, so a little over 3 years ago. And we put together basically the first episode, which we then used for further, you know, fundraising efforts. And now we went around the country. We went to Boston, New York, to Omaha, San Francisco, and we gathered Catholics and said, here's this project we're thinking of, could you please support us? And the money, again, you know, gradually came in. Of course, the economy collapsed halfway through our fundraising, so about 2008,
oh, yes.
You know, of course, the economy collapsed, and a lot of our donors had to, you know, at least postpone their gifts. But, you know, through a lot of prayer and a lot of generosity of God's good people, the $3 million eventually came in, and we made we went to 16 different countries on this journey, filmed in about 50 different locations, And I wanted to give a sense of the global texture of Catholicism. So it took us about 3 years to do all the filming and then the editing and the music. And then we published it just a few weeks ago in early September of 2011.
Well, from what I saw, it's really wonderful. I noticed, I think it was in the trailer, that not only are you standing in some of the most beautiful churches and cathedrals in the world, you were in the streets of Calcutta.
Yeah.
You were in Africa. And it really does show the universality of the church. Early on, as you began to describe this, you talked about Cardinal George wanting you to evangelize the culture, and I know culture is something that plays a large part, right, in your own writing and teaching. So often we think that evangelization is just, it's just words, get up and give the lesson and let everybody listen. But you really are not only evangelizing the culture, you're using culture to spread the word.
That's right, and that's part of the Catholic genius, is that we had this sort of positive attitude toward the good, the true, and the beautiful, wherever they appear. If they appear in the philosophical culture, in the artistic culture, scientific culture, we can use that. We can find a point of contact. So that was very much an inspiration. I gave a talk, in fact, in the episode on the church. I'm inside the great Pantheon in Rome.
Oh, yeah, I saw that episode.
Maybe the most beautiful of the ancient buildings. And I use that as an occasion to talk about this Catholic sense that we can take in the best of the environing culture, the way that the church took in the best of paganism. It didn't simply destroy it or repudiate it. It found elements in it that were good and true and beautiful, and it used them. And that's been a large part of the Catholic genius over the centuries. Aquinas using Aristotle, Newman using Locke and British philosophy, the use of classical architectural forms in our churches, etc. So that's something I very much wanted to highlight in the series. I think we did. And, the culture, that whole collection of institutions and practices and convictions by which the people express their identity, every culture has these trajectories toward the good, the true, and the beautiful. So think of, universities and newspapers are at least, in principle about the truth. The legal profession is all about justice or the good. The arts, music and dance and literature, all about beauty. So the church is interested by its very nature in those three things. The church is always interested in culture, and it wants to direct it properly toward Christ, ultimately, who is the full expression of the good, the true, and the beautiful. That's why the church can use the culture. The church is not the enemy of culture, but it's there to evangelize it, which means to proclaim to it Christ, who is its proper fulfillment. So those are all the assumptions behind the work I'm doing.
I think anybody who's a teacher, I was at one time myself a classroom teacher in a seminary, and that's sort of putting the syllabus together. Now, this series consists of, 10 one-hour presentations, correct?
That's right.
Well, how did you choose the topics, the areas that you would cover?
I just wanted to find, Bishop, the 10 areas I thought were most essential to what Catholicism is about thematically. So my approach here was not historical, it was thematic. I took 10 great areas. And then with each one, I wanted to find a visual accompaniment. So for example, number one, we talk about who is Jesus Christ. This kind of peculiarly Christian idea that the very being of the founder matters. I've always found that so intriguing. No Buddhist is interested really in the metaphysical makeup of the Buddha, or no Muslim worries about the ontology of Muhammad. But yet we do worry about that when it comes to Jesus. I mean, who is this Jesus? Who do people say that I am? And we say he's God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And so I wanted that to be, the first episode. Well, then, where do we go in the world to see that truth? And obviously the Holy Land for who is Jesus. The episode on God, for example, number 3, I developed one of Thomas Aquinas' famous arguments for God's existence, and I went to Santa Sabina, which is the great Dominican headquarters in Rome, because the courtyard of Santa Sabina is a courtyard that Thomas himself knew. It goes back to his time. And they say he would walk around that courtyard at high speed when he would be thinking through an issue. So I walked around that courtyard as I laid out the argument. Our current Pope Benedict XVI, when he was a professor of theology, laid out a very compelling argument for God's existence based on the world's intelligibility. And he tried to show how compatible religion and science really are at their foundations. So I went to the Vatican Observatory up in the mountains outside of Tucson, and we filmed that. I developed that argument as I walked around the telescope in that observatory. So I was always trying to find some visual accompaniment to the themes I was exploring.
It's clear, Father Barron, that the audience here is not just Catholics. It's people, and if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was in the trailer that I saw. You said you wanted to give a kind of authentic picture of the Church at a time when really the Church is very much misunderstood, perhaps because of so many negative headlines in recent years. But You wanted to give show that Catholicism is something that in a sense transcends those individuals who are giving it a bad name today.
That's right. I mean, I'm very aware of the fact that I was doing all this as we're going through one of the darkest periods in our history. The clerical sex abuse scandal has affected the Church in almost every way, and I'm very much aware of that. And what I want to do is, I think what you think of some of the great reformers in the Church during times of crisis. So go back to St. Benedict, emerging in the time of at the fall of the Roman Empire, in the time of great cultural chaos, or Dominic and Francis emerging at a time of great, clerical corruption, Ignatius emerging during the time of the Reformation. The great figures kind of came out with this back-to-basics evangelicalism. What is the Church about? Who are we? I'm not a saint, but I'm trying to imitate the saints, and I think this series, I'm trying to say, here's what the Church is fundamentally about. And now we're getting such a distorted picture where you say Catholic Church, in the mind of many people, it simply equates with the sex abuse scandal. And to me, that's a tragedy. Where you have 2,000 years of art and architecture, spirituality, the saints, the liturgy, the Eucharist, all this splendor, and that we're simply being reduced to our present of difficulty. That to me is a tragedy.
You have a remarkable way, I think, of getting these things across in a way and in a language that many people can understand. The one full episode that I or DVD that I saw, I think it was number 6, in which you deal in large part with the marks of the Church.
Oh yeah, the Church. Right.
One whole.
Right.
And I think that one, the unity and the holiness is something that is particularly tough for people today. And exactly the way you approached it, I think, appeals to the kind of difficulties, questions that people have. And that's really makes this, I think, a very, very good series and helpful for people. We're going to take just a quick break, Father, and we'll be back. Actually, we have a little bit shorter program than we usually do. We're usually on for an hour, but we only have 30 minutes today, so I want to make sure you give us everything you want to tell us. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, okay?
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
We're back now with Father Robert Barron. Father Barron is a priest of the Archdiocese of St. Louis, seminary professor there, and most recently the creator, the host, the writer for a series of 10 episodes, 10, I call them DVDs, that's the form I have them in, but they're being shown on PBS, and it's called Catholicism. So thanks again, Father Barron, for being with us, and I wanted to ask you, as you went literally around the world doing this series, what were some of the things that really got your attention, made a great impression on you?
There are so many, but a couple that stand out. We went to Calcutta to talk about Mother Teresa, and I'd never been to India before. And about a 20 some hour trip, plane trip to get there, and then to be in that city, which is it's the most, I don't know how I put it, it's the most squalid place I'd ever been. And you go and you just see people, I mean, living on the streets and living in the worst sort of degradation. And then in the midst of that, you find these women who are just radiantly joyful. And we have some of the best film, I think, in the whole series. So these young women, these young novices, who are just beaming with joy as they serve the poorest of the poor in the worst conditions, at least I've ever seen. Our cameraman is a wonderful guy, John Cummings, a kind of a, you know, experienced NBC cameraman, seen a lot. And one day he said, after he filmed in Calcutta, he said, it went fine today, Father. But he said, there are just certain things I saw today I wish I had never seen. You know, it was that kind of a place. And to find those women there in the midst of that situation, I found deeply moving. And the film of it, I think, is some of the best in the series. Then, of course, we went to Uganda. And, you know, I've taught at the seminary here at Mundelein for many years, and we've taught a lot of students from Africa, from Nigeria, Tanzania, and Uganda. And they knew I was doing this series, so I would ask them, where should I go to show African Catholicism? And they all said, Namugongo. And Namugongo is a little area outside of Kampala where Charles Lwanga and his companions were martyred back in 1886. And every year on June the 3rd, their feast day, there's this giant liturgy at Namugongo. 500,000 people come to that spot. And so we came with our little film crew, and this extremely moving liturgy unfolds. First, the sheer number of the people, then the choir singing, this extraordinary procession involving, you know, African dance and the distinctive costumes and all the instruments and so on. And then behind them, this rather stately procession of priests and bishops. But all the time you're watching this huge celebration, you see this site. They have a little chapel there where Charles Lwanga was burned at the stake. And it's just so moving to me. I'm still moved when I talk about it to think of, you know, there anyone watching that scene in 1886 would have said, well, there's the end of African Christianity. And now on that very site, 500,000 people come. So that was, for me, a very, very moving place to film. And we got some wonderful footage there.
It must stand in great contrast to those episodes where you're standing in the beautiful churches of Rome, yeah, and Paris, yeah, and yet it is the same church, it is the same faith, but it really does show the universality of the Catholic Church, that this message, this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ has penetrated virtually every culture.
And I'm so glad you saw that juxtaposition, because that's very much what I wanted. You know, I studied in Paris, and I've taught in Rome, and I've, of course, grown up in this country. So I have a good sense of Western Catholicism. And I wanted to highlight that because it's so beautiful. There is so much richness, whether it's Thomas Aquinas or Chartres Cathedral or the Sainte Chapelle or the Cologne Cathedral. I wanted all of that to be on display. At the same time, what you just said is right. I wanted to show that the faces of those Mother Teresa sisters in Calcutta are as beautiful as Sainte Chapelle. The gathering in Namugongo is itself as beautiful as Chartres Cathedral, just in a different way, with a different cultural emphasis. And I wanted all that texture to come through. Because my hope, Bishop, is that people would see some part of this. Maybe they watch one episode or part of an episode, and maybe they'll just be grabbed by something. Maybe it's the beauty of the Sainte Chapelle, which is one of the most stunningly beautiful places in the world. Maybe it's the beauty of those sisters in Calcutta. Maybe it's the people arriving on their knees at Guadalupe. We have wonderful film of that. So I wanted to show the texture, the global richness of Catholicism, hoping to draw people in some way. That's why, you know, the cover of our book and of the series is a picture of me walking into Sainte Chapelle in Paris, this, you know, gorgeous place. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'm opening the door. Because that's what the series is about for me, is it's an opening of the door to the richness of Catholicism. And I'm just kind of saying, I hope, gently, you know, come on in, take a look.
Because this series has already begun to show on PBS in some areas, have you gotten any feedback yet, any reviews, any emails, whatever?
Yeah, no, a lot. Thank you for asking it. And they've been very encouraging. The ratings have been good. We got a call from the PBS representative here in Chicago with whom we were working, and he was very encouraged by the early ratings. I think people are just, you know, they're fascinated by religion. And I think once they see this show, that it's very well done from a technical standpoint, they'll be interested in watching it. The reviews have been very encouraging from a lot of different sources, too. Some, you know, from the kind of mainstream Catholic world, But others outside the Catholic world have responded very favorably. So we're, you know, thrilled about that.
I really can't emphasize enough for our listeners that this for me anyway is not your typical catechetical series. You are mm-hmm. not standing at a podium lecturing to people, but not only are you on site, I think you're interacting with the culture in a way that presents Catholicism in I guess that almost a unique way for us, and I think that's what's going to be so very engaging for people who watch this. It's different. It's different, I think, and it really is deserving of being viewed by many people. You know, it is on PBS, but the series is actually available in other ways too. I mean, the whole series can be purchased. Tell our listeners about what different ways they might participate in this other than simply watching it on TV.
Yeah, good. They go to my website, which is wordonfire.org, and we have a special page there where you can look at, you know, examples of the series, sections of it, and you can buy it. So I would, it'll help keep our ministry going if people would be willing to buy the box set. But also within the Catholic world, it can be used, I think, for RCIA, adult formation, for deacon formation. You know, a lot of younger people too. I do these little videos on YouTube, which are just, you know, I'm commenting on books and movies and all that, and they're basically just a talking head. But those are used by a lot of high schools and colleges. I think this series would be very good for younger people interested in learning about the faith. But we have a great study program that goes with it that was done by Carl Olson, who writes for Ignatius Press. He did a wonderful job linking the episodes to the catechism, to the Bible, to the theological tradition. Whenever I reference a work of art, you know, he's there to tell you more about it. So I hope people could buy the study program as well and then lead a group, you know, who want to learn more about the faith. So there's all kinds of ways that it can be used, and that's all on our website. You can find out about it.
The study program is in print, right? You have the mm-hmm. videos, and then you have the study program, the print that goes along with it. And
that's right. We're working on an online edition of it, so we hope that eventually you can just go online and download the study program. But for the moment, it's in these 10 very nicely designed booklets that go with each of the episodes. Also, I've got a book I wrote based on the 10 scripts, and Doubleday published that, and it's pretty lavishly illustrated with the artwork and photography from the series. So it's a very handsome book, I think, and that would be a good gift, especially for younger people. I would say your high school graduate going off to college, who's maybe going to face a lot of opposition to the church and to his faith, buy him the book. I think that would be a helpful way to maybe ward off some of those dangers.
Mention that website again.
WordOnFire.org.
WordOnFire.org. Great. Before we conclude in a few minutes, we'll have you mention that again. As I said, I only had a chance to preview a small portion of the series. Very impressive. But I noticed that one of the 10 is devoted to our Blessed Mother, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. What now? I play devil's advocate a little bit here. What made you center in on Mary to devote 10% of your series to?
Yeah, well, she's so essential, you know, to the Catholic faith and to a Catholic sensibility and Catholic spirituality. She's the mother of the church, and she's the mother of the spiritual life. Christ is born of Mary and the Holy Spirit, and so in some ways, Christ is born in us by Mary and the Holy Spirit. I mean, so she's a very central figure for our whole spiritual tradition. And I also wanted, because there's so much beauty associated with the Mary tradition. So we begin we began that episode in Des Plaines, Illinois, right outside Chicago, on a very cold night, because one of the biggest gatherings of Hispanic Catholics is right outside Chicago on the eve of the Feast of Guadalupe. Hundreds of thousands come. So the episode begins with these wonderful Mexican faces, and they start noticing, you can see their breath. And you wonder, well, where are these people, you know? Well, they're outside Chicago on a very cold night. And then we go from there to Guadalupe and to Lourdes and to the Holy Land and Ephesus, where Mary was declared Mother of God. So it's a very rich, global, very visual episode. Also, Chartres Cathedral, which, as you know, was seen as the dwelling place of Mary on Earth. And so I talk about that whole dimension. But it's a particularly beautiful episode, I think, because our tradition has focused so much on Mary and used the beautiful to speak of her.
And I think it's going to be important, too, for those that are not of our Catholic faith, our Protestant brothers and sisters, for whom, in many cases, Mary continues to be a rather neuralgic sort of figure. And I think that's great that you would bring that up. The church has really had some blows, obviously, in these most recent years. But what's your sense? What's your own hope or optimism for the church as we move into the future now?
Well, you know, to me, Bishop, the most extraordinary thing about this time, and I teach at a seminary, I travel around the country quite a bit talking to priests and seminarians, the number of young people who continue to come to serve the church. You know, when the scandals broke, so go back now about 10 years, most of us thought the numbers would plummet in our seminaries. We thought that here. And it never happened. That people kept coming to the seminary. I was just down in New Orleans. I gave a lecture at Notre Dame Seminary down there. And then afterwards, I met with a lot of these young guys. And I'm continually impressed by that. And I said, you know, you're all the post-2002 generation. You came even though the priesthood is under such assault right now, and even though it seems so negatively, yet you come. And that's a sign of tremendous hope. It's the young people. I find tremendous encouragement.
That's being being borne out around the country. Our numbers of seminarians continue to increase. And I don't know where I heard this, if I read it or if one of our seminarians said it to me, but the question was put to a young seminarian, why are you doing this? Why are you getting into this at this moment? And he very simply said, I just want to do it better. I want to do it better for the future. And so they're not looking back. They're looking forward.
I remember, Bishop, as in your neck of the woods, I was in Denver a few months ago. There was a big, was it Spirit Life? What's the name of the conference? They have a big gathering there.
Oh, they have a couple of years.
It's the Denver
Living
Convention
the Living
Center,
the
you know?
Faith or something. Yes.
Yeah, and I walked in for the talk, and right in front of me there was this huge gaggle of young Dominican seminarians. You know, they're all in their white Dominican habits. Yeah. There must have been, I don't know, 20 of them. I said, where are you guys from? Oh, the novitiate, I guess, is right there.
It is, yeah.
And there they were, you know, filled with enthusiasm for Thomas Aquinas and for the intellectual life, and they're wearing their habits publicly. And so I find that a lot, and you do too, I know,
as
you wander around the church. Mm-hmm. And that's a great sign of hope.
It is. Father, we are quickly coming to the end of our time together. Please, one more time, wordonfire.org is your website. You can go there.
Yeah.
People can find out about this Catholicism series. They could see it on PBS. They can find out how to purchase it, own it themselves. And so much appreciate the time that you've given us. Let's close just with a brief prayer, asking the Lord to bless you and your work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, please give your blessing to Father Barron, to the work that he has done. May it bear fruit throughout our country. May more people come to know and appreciate the greatness, the beauty of our Catholic faith and of our Catholic Church. May it be the opportunity for many more to come into the Church. We thank you for all of the gifts that you have given Father Barron. Please give him many, many more years to share those gifts with the Church and with the world. And I ask God now to bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Father, for being with
us. Thank you, Bishop, for that very much.
All right.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs. The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.